Many of us, if I were to ask you, what is the most important relationship in your life? And many of you would say that it's your relationship with your Heavenly Father. But do we treat it in the same way that we do with our boyfriend, with our girlfriend, with our husband, with our wife? Or do we spend time with Him on a regular and everyday basis? Do we have a quiet time where we can grow in fellowship with our Heavenly Father? Well, in the lesson this morning, we're going to focus on our fellowship with God. And we know that we can never lose our relationship, that once we've believed in Jesus Christ, we are born again into the family of God. We're new creations in Christ, and we can never lose that relationship. No matter how we act, what we do, whether we decide that we want out of it, we can't get out of it. We can never lose our relationship, but we can get out of fellowship with God. And so what we're going to talk about this morning is growing our relationship with God and maintaining our fellowship. All relationships begin and end with Christ. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 tells us that He is the author and finisher of our faith. So how do we maintain our fellowship and grow in our relationships? Well, we relate to God in two ways. And God talks to us how? Through His Word, through His written Word. And that's why He left us the Bible. We have something that's more perfect than experience. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. But He left us His written Word, and that's how He communicates with us. How do we communicate to God? Through prayer. Exactly right. So it's a two-way communication. It's not just reading His Word. It's not just praying and asking for your requests from Him, but it's a two-way communication. That's how you're going to grow in a relationship with anybody. It's not by one person talking, but it's by communication in both ways. Well, let's think about how important is fellowship with God. In Mark 1:35, if you want to turn there, this is where Jesus, He had been up, and I'll give you some background coming into this verse, but Jesus had been up, He had been healing people, individually touching the lives. This same story is told in Luke chapter 5, and it talks about how individually He was touching each and every one of these people who they were bringing to Him. These people were demon-possessed, and some of them had illnesses, and Jesus was healing them. He was doing His work, and it was being done late into the night. And that's what it says in verse 32. If you look at verse 32, it says, when evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to Him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed. So it was dark, it was late at night, and they just then began bringing all of these people from the city to Jesus, and He wanted to touch each and every one of them individually. He wanted a fellowship with them. He didn't just want to speak the word and say, you're all healed, go home so I can get some sleep, and I'll get up in the morning and have my quiet time. He worked late into the night, but look at what verse 35 says, because you see the importance of fellowship with God that Christ had. It says in verse 35, in the early morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. So we see two key things. Jesus took time to pray is number one. If you were to ask, like I said earlier, if I were to ask any of you, what is the most important relationship in your life? You would say it was that of God. But are you living that way? Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. The truth is, each and every one of us have the same amount of time in a day. It's 24 hours. But we have to choose how we're going to use our time. Are we using it wisely? Are we using it for the things of God? Or are we using it for the things of this world? The things of this world are the things that drag us down. They keep us away from God. But the things, if we use our time wisely, we're going to use time in fellowship with God. There are no excuses. We see here in the life of Christ that He worked late into the night. So you can't say, well, I had to work a late shift. I had to work an extra shift. I'm just too tired. I just can't have my quiet time. Or you can't say, well, I've got to get up early in the morning because I've got to get off and do my work. Well, Jesus, He arose before it was dark. He got up while it was still, before it was light. He got up while it was still dark, And he went out and he had his quiet time. He wanted to get alone with God and have fellowship with him. So the first thing that we see from that verse is Jesus took time to pray. But the second thing is Jesus found a place to get alone and pray. And I think that's key, that many times we try to have our quiet time amongst all the chaos that's going on, amongst all the chaos that's going on at our homes or at our work, and we try to do it at lunchtime or we try to do it in the evening when everybody's around. But Jesus got up while it was still dark, while there was no chaos going on, and he got alone. And it's key that we get alone, that we get to spend intimate time. We love to go on dates with our wives or our husbands so that we can get alone with them. And many of you want to get away from your kids and have those date nights, but right now I'd rather have my child with me. But the truth is, you want to be alone with that person so that you can grow that relationship, so that you can be in fellowship with them. So number one is he took time to pray, and then Jesus found a place to get alone to pray. That's what we need to be doing so that we can build this bond of love together with Christ. If it was that important for Jesus Christ, who was without sin, how much more important is it for us who are sinners? And we'll talk about that again here in just a moment. Well, as we seek to maintain fellowship, there are two areas to consider, and the first one is Bible study. Ezra 7:10, for Ezra purposed in his heart to study the law of the Lord. And this is where we dig the scripture and we set aside a time. And this is different from the time that we're going to talk about this morning. But this is where we dig the scripture. We want to know what the Word of God says. We want to know the theology behind it. We want to know who it was written to and who's writing it and how the Bible all fits together. But what we're going to talk about this morning is the second aspect, which is our quiet time. And this is relating to what JB has been talking about on Sunday mornings or in Sunday school in the sayings of Peter. He's been in 2 Peter 3:17 and 18 the last couple of weeks. But this verse talks about how we grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is where we know the Lord. So we study the Bible to know the Word, to know how it all fits together so that we can communicate the Word to other people. But we also want to grow in our relationship with God, and so we want to know Him on a more intimate level, and that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Well, there are several different aspects, and don't put this up there yet. There are several different aspects that we talk about whenever we go and we think about a quiet time. And whenever I used to have a quiet time many years ago, I thought that it was you pray and you read. You read the Word of God, that's His communication to you, and then you pray, and then you go on about your day, and that's finished for the day. But then I realized whenever JB was teaching this at one point in time that there's a lot more to a quiet time than just reading and praying, and it's something that is kind of a quiet time, but then you have the aspects of that that follow you throughout the day. So let me ask you this before we put up the list. What are some things that we do in a quiet time other than just reading the Word and praying? Worship? Meditate? What? Writing? Sleep? That's what usually happens to me. Heavenly Father, will you please? All right, well, the five that we're going to look at this morning are reading the Word, meditation, praying, writing, and memorizing. There are many other things that many people do in their quiet time. I know a lot of people like to sing praise and worship songs to God. There are different things that different people do in that time, but these are five aspects that we're going to look at this morning. And so they're reading the Word, meditation, praying, writing, and memorizing. Let's begin with the first one, and it is reading the Word. John 17:17 says, sanctify them in the truth, thy word is truth. If you want to be set apart for Jesus Christ, you've got to be in the truth of his word, and we need to do that on a daily basis. So why do we read the word? Well, the first reason that we read the word is to learn. Isaiah 55:11 says that His Word never comes back void. It always accomplishes its purpose. And so if you want to learn some information, you can do that by reading the Word of God, and it's not going to come back void. It's always going to accomplish its purpose. 1 Corinthians 10:11 and Romans 15:4 say that the things written in the past were written for our instruction. So the Word of God gives us instruction of how we are to live our lives. And we need to live our lives so that we are growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so we want to be learning truths and principles from His Word. And then 2 Peter 1:19 talks about that we have something more perfect than experience. We have the written Word of God. Many people say, how do you live your life? Well, I live it by experience. I live and learn. But the truth is, if we go to the truths and principles of God's Word and we are applying those to our lives, we don't have to live and learn so much and learn from our mistakes, because the Bible tells us how we are to live our lives. And that's what number two, that takes us to number two, which is it brings us wisdom. I talked about a few weeks ago the book of James, chapter 1, and we talked about where does wisdom come from? It comes from the Word of God, but it's more than just knowing the Word of God. It's more than just hearing the Word of God. It is what James 1:22 said, but be doers of the Word of God. That's what wisdom is. It is knowing and applying Scripture. I talked about 2 Peter 3:16 and 17, that all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. It teaches us where we're wrong, how to get right, and how to stay right, how to live the Christian life. And so it brings us wisdom of how to live the Christian life. And the third thing it does is it brings us refreshment and joy. Listen to this. This is Psalm 19:7-8. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." So His Word restores our soul when the world pulls us down, because that's what the world does. It's constantly pulling. It's contrary to us as Christians. His Word causes our hearts to rejoice and enlightens us. When we are down, the Word can lift us up. When we are feeling insecure, His Word gives us assurance that He'll never leave us or forsake us. What should we fear? That no one can pluck us out of His hand. That nothing can separate us from the love of God. When we are bound in fear, His Word can bring peace and comfort. The truth is, though, if we are going to go to the Word of God and we're going to be reading it on a regular basis, we don't need a hocus pocus of open the Bible and hope it flips open to something that I need today. We need a structured reading plan, and there are many different reading plans that you can go online and find. There's ones that'll have you reading from the Old Testament and the New Testament every day. There are reading plans that'll just take you directly through the Bible as it's written from Genesis to Revelation. There are chronological reading plans where you can read through the Bible and see how it all fits together, and that's really neat. That was my favorite one that I've ever done, especially whenever you get to the Gospels and you can see the life of Christ written by three or four different authors on the same events, and you see their different aspects and their different angles of their writing about the same scenario. There are things like read from the Proverbs, a proverb a day will keep the doctor away. You can read from the Gospels on a daily basis so that you see the life of Christ. The life of Christ is a life that we are to be imitating, and it's good to be reading from that on a regular and everyday basis. If you teach or if you're being taught, to read from those aspects on a regular basis. We know on a normal Sunday where JB's going to be teaching from, because he goes verse by verse, passage by passage, and so we know where he's going to be teaching. We should be reading from that. But before we go to the Word of God, let me give you a good verse to pray, and it's found in Psalm 119:18. It says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law." What a great verse to pray, because you're praying the Word of God and you're praying to Him that He'll open your heart, He'll open your mind to the truths and principles about which you are to read. So the first thing that we need to do in a quiet time, or not necessarily in any order, but one of the things that we need to do is to be reading the Word of God. But we don't need to just read the Word of God and go on about our day. And that takes us to our second thing, which is meditation. We need to meditate on His Word. And this is not Eastern mysticism where you clear your mind. This is where you take the truths and principles found in God's Word and you roll them over constantly in your mind. Listen to this. This is Psalm 1:2. It says, "But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night." There is delight in the Word of God. It brings enjoyment and refreshment, just like we said. And in His law, He meditates day and night. So we have our quiet time. We get alone with God, whether it is in the morning or whether it's in the evening. We continue those thoughts about what we read, and we continue to process those, and we continue to think about how can it change my life. We continue to think about it as events and activities come in our life. How can I make application of what I read in the Scripture either this morning or yesterday evening? We are to meditate on it day and night. Down to Joshua 1:8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it again. What does it say? Day and night. So it's a constant rolling over of the truths and principles that are found in God's Word. What's going to happen if you do that? So that you may be careful to do according to all that's written in it. So you do what is in your mind. Many times our mind goes to worldly things, and those worldly things set apart temptation, and temptation leads to sin, and sin leads to death. But if we're continuing to roll over the truths and principles found in God's Word, we'll be careful to do according to all that is written in it. And then what happens? The result? "For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." Prosperity and success in this world is thinking about ourselves. World and prosperity in this world is thinking about our job. World and prosperity in this world is thinking about money. But prosperity and success, according to God's Word, is meditating, is to be thinking on, and to be careful to do according to all that is written in the Word of God. That's the way we're going to have success. And we're not talking about temporal worldly success. We're talking about eternal success. So we don't just read the Word of God, but we read it and then we meditate on it day and night. God's Word affects us. It changes us. And we are to be changed by the Word of God. But also, we need to communicate back to God. And that takes us to the third aspect, which is prayer. And prayer is simply what? Talking to God. Exactly right. So that's what prayer is. It's simply talking to God, telling Him about what's going on in our lives. Remember, we're trying to grow a relationship with somebody. And so if we're going to do that, we need to hear from them. We need to talk to them. We need to tell them what's going on in our lives. We need to tell them what's going on in our friends' lives. We need to have communication with God, and that's what prayer is. It's simply talking to God. Well, we're going to look at five different aspects of prayer this morning, and there are more aspects of prayer that some people do, but we're going to look at four different types in one verse, and then we're going to go to another verse and see a fifth type of prayer. But you can do all of these aspects at one time. You can do one of these aspects each time. You know, many times we do the prayer of petition and saying, "God, help me because I'm getting ready to go into this." It's a legitimate prayer. You're simply talking to God and you're making a request for Him. You don't have to go through all five of these in order for Him to hear you and answer your prayer. But there are five different aspects that we'll look at this morning. The first four of them are going to be found in 1 Timothy 2:1. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men." So the first aspect in that verse is entreaties. And entreaties is intercession. It's asking on behalf of others. You know, whenever Rachel went to the hospital and we found out things weren't going well, was one of the first things that I did was I got on the phone with JB, and Eric was there with him, and I said, send out a prayer request, because I want as many people telling God that we love these people. We want everything to turn out okay for them and for their family. And so that's what intercession is. It's reaching out, and it's each and every person praying for others within the body, or just your friends or family, whoever it is. And we need to be making requests of others. That's why we have a prayer chain. And we need to write down those prayer requests. We need to continue to pray for different things. That's what we're doing right now. We made an entreaty for JB whenever we started the Sunday school class this morning with him recovering from his surgery. Well, there's a second aspect of prayer, and that is the idea of prayers is what it says there, but it has the idea of worship or adoration of who God is. God is our comforter. He's our counselor. He's our redeemer. He's our friend. He's our sustainer. He is the creator of all things, and we worship him and tell him about how we appreciate who he is and what he has done to get us to this position. The third aspect is petition, and this is where we're asking God to meet our needs. I know I don't have to go into much detail on this, because this is usually the thing that we're the best at. We can ask God about the things, the needs, the wants, the desires that we have for our own life, but that's what petition is. And some people think, well, it's selfish that I pray for myself, but the Word of God tells us to ask, to make petitions for what we want and what we need in our lives. And so we do that. The fourth aspect is thanksgiving. And this is praise for what he's done. Too many times we ask God for things and he answers our prayers and we never remember to thank him. But it is because of him that we are saved by grace through faith. It is because of him that he loves us with an unconditional, everlasting love. It's all because of him that we're at this point in time in our lives. It's because of him that we have this great church family. It's all because of him, and we need to thank him for all that he has done. Well, there's four types of prayer, and you can also find those four types of prayer also in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, and we're not going to take the time to look there this morning. But there is a fifth aspect to prayer, and that's found in 1 John 1:9. And what is that? Confession, exactly right. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So confession is restoring fellowship by confessing our sins. It's restoring fellowship by confessing our sins. And confession simply means that we do what? We tell on ourselves, exactly right. The word is homologeo. Homo means same. Legeo means to speak. And so we speak the same thing. We speak what it is that we did, and we tell on ourselves to God. Well, confession, it restores our fellowship with God. And as I stated earlier, we can never lose our relationship no matter what we do, but we can get out of fellowship. And in order to restore that fellowship, we simply confess, and he puts us right back into fellowship. We've already seen the importance of Christ and how important a quiet time was with him to get alone with his heavenly Father, and he was without sin. How much more important should it be to us who are sinners, who separate ourselves from fellowship with God because of the sin in our lives, to come to him and to confess our sins and to make our requests and to thank him and to worship him for who he is. It should be important in our lives just as it was in the life of Christ. Well, let me give you a couple of things that I like. One of them is an acronym, and it's the word ACTS. We're in ACTS on Sunday mornings, but there is A stands for adoration, and this is where we worship God and who he is. And then C is the next letter, confession. Confession. And this is where we confess our sins. Then T is thanksgiving, and we thank him for all he's done. And then the S stands for supplication, and that's where we make our requests on behalf of ourselves and for others. And if you think about the flow of that, that's a pretty good flow, that you give adoration to God and who He is. Then you confess your sins so that you're back in fellowship with Him, that there's nothing separating you from God. Then you thank Him for all that He has already done for you, and then you make your requests. So you're back in fellowship with Him, and He is there listening to your prayer. Another thing that I do is I use my hands sometimes and think through the different things and different aspects that I pray, because my thumb points back to me and I pray for the things that are for myself. And then your index finger is your working finger, and you do a lot of work with that. You turn pages, etc. And so I pray for my work, or back whenever I was in school, I used that for praying for my school and my studies and things like that. The next finger is the longest finger on your hand, and so that's praying for the big things that you have going on in your life. Then your next finger has what on it? A wedding ring. And so you pray for your family. And whenever I do that, I pray for my immediate family. I pray for my extended family, and that's where I pray for my church family and requests and everything that you have given to me. And then finally, you have your pinky, the little small finger, and that's where you pray for the small things that are going on in your life, the things that you may think are meaningless. And it's just something to help you, something to think about, just to get through different aspects of prayer. So you can use those if you want, but whatever. But they're really great, and I love that Acts because of the order of the way that everything falls there. So we've seen that we need to read the Word, we need to meditate on the Word, and we need to pray, which is talking back to God. The fourth thing gets a little more convicting, and I have trouble with this and don't do it many times, but let's think about writing. And this is sometimes called journaling, and I've got three aspects of why we write down some of our thoughts. Number one is you write down your prayers, and then when God answers, because that gives you security. It gives you assurance whenever some other big things come along in your life that you can turn back and you can see how God was faithful in the past. The second thing is it helps you solidify your thoughts about what you have read. This can be a part of your meditation time because you're thinking back about what you've read and you're writing out your thoughts about what you've read. Which brings us to the third thing. It helps hold you accountable to the applications you see for your life. And this is where it gets a little convicting and why I don't like doing it. But it solidifies, you know, those things that you need to change, that you see from the Scripture, that you need to change in your life. And whenever you write them down, it kind of becomes a little more permanent. You can't just forget that you thought that thought. It's written down. And whenever you go back the next day and you open up that journal again and you look back to the past few days of what you've written and have you truly made those applications in your life, it becomes a little convicting. But that's what we're there for. We're to be changed by the Word of God. And so writing down those thoughts and getting them down on paper helps to change you to be more like Christ. Well, the final thing that I have this morning is memorizing. Psalm 119:11 says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against you." One of the key reasons for memorization is because what does the world do? It tempts us, it pulls us, it wants to keep us away from God. But what happened when Jesus was tempted by Satan? What did he give back to Satan? He gave him back Scripture, exactly right. He gave him truths and principles that he had memorized from God's Word. We probably don't all have it memorized as well as he does, but the truth is we need to be memorizing Scripture. If there's some temptation or some sin that is constantly pulling on you, go to the Word of God and find a Scripture that deals with that and have it in the forefront of your mind so that whenever those temptations come, you can give the Word of God back. The final verse I have there is Deuteronomy 6:4-9, which is the Shema passage. And for sake of time, I'm just going to read verses 8 and 9 to you. It says, "You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on the frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So what they did was they took scripture and they had a box and they would put it on their foreheads. I think it's like me back in college, whenever I'd sleep on my Bible, hope that osmosis would put some of that in there. Well, they would put the scripture up there because they wanted to be reminded of it. They wanted it to be the forefront. They wanted it to be out ahead of them. And it was scripture that they were memorizing, that they were wanting to know. And so they put it on the frontals of their forehead. But also it says, "You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And the truth is, many times you'll go to people's house and you'll ask to use their restroom and you'll go to their personal restroom and you'll see on their mirror that there's scriptures up there because they're wanting to be reminded of truths and principles from God's Word. It may be scriptures that they're trying to memorize. It may be things that they want to be reminded of so that they have security and assurance that they find in the Word of God. So we need to be memorizing the Word of God so that we can be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us, and so that whenever the temptations of this world come, we'll be able to refute them with Scripture. So what have we seen this morning? We've seen 5 different aspects of a quiet time, that we are to be reading the Word of God. And we're not to just leave the Word there. We are to meditate on it day and night. We are to communicate back to God through prayer. We are to be writing out the truths and principles that we find from God's Word. And finally, we need to be memorizing Scripture so that we're ready to give an answer and so that we can refute the temptations of this world. Well, let's make some applications. Number one is, let's make time for God by maintaining a daily quiet time. Let's make time for God and have a daily quiet time. You know, it's so easy to skip your quiet time. I hear people all the time, I just didn't have time. I was just too tired. Well, this popped up or that popped up. If it's the greatest relationship in your life, there should be no excuses. There were no excuses for Christ. There were no excuses for you whenever you had that new boyfriend or girlfriend, and that was the most important thing for you. It didn't matter if you had to get up early to talk to them. It didn't matter if it meant staying out late to spend time with them. It didn't matter if it was a 5-minute conversation in the middle of the day. You would take time to do it. We need to take time for God. And then number 2 is, in your quiet time, apply the 5 different aspects that we've seen this morning. And if you have other aspects to add to it, that's great as well. But we need to be doing all of these different aspects because it helps to grow and to build that relationship. As we read God's Word and we hear Him communicate to us, as we meditate on His Word and take it with us throughout the day, as we are praying and offering back our worship and our thanksgiving and asking for requests for ourselves and others, and then being back in fellowship through confession. Then we need to be writing out the things so that we are changed by His Word, so that whenever we go back and look tomorrow, we see the truths and principles that were supposed to be changed in our lives, and so that we can be more diligent to act those out. And then finally, memorizing Scripture so that we're ready to give an answer and so that we can refute the things of Satan. But in order to do that, we have to discipline ourselves. It's a disciplining ourselves for godliness so that we can grow in fellowship with our Heavenly Father, so that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.